My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
That's what the people want to hear.
Boo!
I think hot teachers know they're hot.
Everything hurts.
I'm a food-based learner.
There are liminal spaces from hell, but there's always plushies.
What shape is a podcast-shaped hole?
Welcome back to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
My name is Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I apologize for all of the cacophonous cleaning sounds that are probably going to be happening this whole episode. We are in full, like, company is coming, no one can know we sit mode at the Kelleher
we
house.
We can't let people know we sit.
It's very that. So it's going to be, there's a lot of vacuuming, floor washing happening right above my head in my basement office. We're going to roll with it and see what we can do in post, but, you know, apologies in advance. How are you, Netta?
I'm okay. Can I ask you a question? How do you feel knowing that any comedy we make, like in our lifetimes with this podcast and everything else we do, nothing is ever going to top anything Chris Fleming has ever done?
I'm at peace with that. He is so funny. This is a podcast where we just describe other people's comedy instead of making our own. NHK happened.
It did.
We're going to talk about it today. Weirdly enough, yeah. It did happen. Before we do that, let's talk about some breaking news. All of the breaking news this week is badass and exciting and not like, oh no, another person broke their whole body. So we have that going for us.
There's still time. Before we do any of that, this is our 21st episode. I'm very excited about that.
Oh my God, my stupid fucking cat is like trying to get in on this again. This is like me recording on ADHD challenge mode where it's like, how many noises and animals can we throw at you while you're trying to do your job? Can you go back to your part of the couch? No, this is your part of the couch now. Okay, just don't purr into the microphone. Great. All right. Well, she's hanging out here now.
I just imagined like a drag race or like any like reality show, but it's for podcasters and that's like a main challenge. It's like you're trying to record an episode and there's just like someone vacuuming behind you and like they release like 7 puppies and you don't have to be distracted by them.
I would be really good at that because I already am practicing now. You may have heard because I'm pretty sure those international like text alerts, national emergency things went out. Lisa Tuktomisheva landed a fucking quad toe.
I have not been capable of talking about anything else for the past 12 hours.
Like, they're like, Netta's not exaggerating, and I've known them for a long time, and like, I don't know if I've ever seen this level of excitement over anything.
You know what? You might be right. I didn't even, it's not something I knew I needed because I, as you know, have some opinions about quads with the ladies, which is that no one needs them. But the thing is, it's the kind of thing you don't know you need until you see it. And then you're like, oh, yeah, this is beautiful.
It was healing. It was healing to see.
Transformative.
And I mean, like, I'm being hyperbolic for the sake of comedy, but also, like, not. Because, like, it was really nice to see somebody with a grown-up body, like, land a quad. It just kind of hit different.
Yeah. It's just, it proves everything we've been talking about for, like, since the beginning of the season. We've been talking about longevity and learning things and the fact that you don't stop learning and developing at 15. And just the Empress herself heard us and she was like, you know what, I'm gonna prove this point. She knew that we're writing like a 5-paragraph essay about this and eventually we're gonna have to cite our sources, so she like made sure that we have something to cite. We've been so blessed.
We have seen time and time again that nothing fuels her like the rage of feeling overlooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's she, the second she didn't make the final, she was like, oh, what's this I found in my back pocket? A quad? What? Where did that come from?
She's incredible. And I read a thing on Russian sports media where it was like, oh yeah, Mishin said that he didn't want too much noise to be made over her quad toe. And then like the Mishin camp Instagram posted it and I'm like, do y'all want us to talk about this or like is this low-key? Either way, they're like, oh no, don't make me jump a quad.
I know, right? Don't make me jump. I That character, that don't make me sing character, is also, like, exactly the same character that Lisa portrays in every single one of her skates. It's that, like,
oh my god,
weird, jazz age, drunk, like, socially awkward, but still charming woman.
Correct.
And then, within, like, you know, felt like minutes of that leaking, but it could have just been when I woke up and got all the news, we saw a video of Wakaba Higuchi doing a triple axel, which apparently she, like, maybe at some point had, but then didn't have.
Yeah, she lost it at some point.
Because she was so hurt.
Yeah. So that's also fucking exciting. You know, you wake up, you think it's going to be a normal Tuesday, and then everyone just starts delivering. Just deeply blessed.
It's so funny, too, because, like, everyone was so unbelievably hype over Lisa. Like, other skaters were, like, losing their minds over it.
Yeah, everyone's been, like, sharing on, like, their Insta stories and stuff. And it's honestly great to see because it's the kind of, like, sportsmanship, respect, like, admiration thing I really like seeing. I just think it's very sweet. Also, Russian Nationals is literally a month away, so...
I'm so excited.
It's like on Christmas, because they don't do Christmas on Christmas, so they don't care. So it's on Christmas.
That's a perfect excuse for me to, like, not... just kidding. I'll participate in my family Christmas. Mom, if you're... she's not listening. We kind of talked about our predictions of the way things would go last week, and of course, nothing happened the way we thought. I'm starting to think I'm, like, a reverse psychic... where the second I say something, the future then changes. And
actually, my lady's podium prediction was entirely correct. For once. It was like the one time I nailed it.
I thought that would be the case as well, but I was surprised the road we took to get there.
Yeah.
So I think that rather than going like skater by skater, program by program this episode, because we've already talked about pretty much all these programs at length, we're gonna take a more holistic approach, and we're going to look at every podium as a whole and talk about how did we get here and is this, how do we feel about this.
Yeah, so let's talk about women.
Let's do it. So okay, final podium was what?
In third we have Alina Zagitova from Russia. Second, we have Rika Kihara from Japan for a home crowd. And in first, surprising absolutely no one, we have Alena Kostovnaya, also from Russia.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would have predicted.
Yeah.
It just felt chaotic because Alina Zagitova had a rough short program, the likes of which we haven't seen in a while.
In, like, 2 years, this was, like, her lowest short program score. She ended up scoring 66 point something, like, 0.9 or something. Which, like, landed her fourth, which is not that big of a deal. But for her, obviously, this is, you know, an Olympic gold medalist and someone we've come to think of as, like, pretty consistent most of the time. It was surprising, honestly.
Yeah, and Karen Chen ended up in third after the short, which was also surprising because, I mean, not that she's not amazing, but she has not had a particularly amazing season so far. She's adjusting to college life, and I think that, like, she was kind of surprised too. I don't know, I feel like we were all just like, what's going on?
Yeah, the short overall was just kind of chaotic.
You know, it's always this question of, like, why? And we never know, obviously. But Alina had to go right after Alena Kostovnaya. And God help me, it is confusing that they have similar names. I feel like if this was, like, fictional, somebody would be complaining, this author, like, did this is too confusing that their names are similar. But, you know, life is confusing. So, anyway, for the sake of clarity, I'll use their last names, but Kostovnaya had this amazing, triumphant, beautiful short program, and everyone was, like, losing their shit. I think, was that her, did she get world record?
It is a world record. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
I don't think that it was Alina's world record, but I do know that Alina in the past has sometimes had a rough skate following, like, a teammate or, like, a competitor's really amazing skate. So I don't know if she pays attention. Maybe she doesn't, and it's just a coincidence. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't look at the scores or the skate. They're, like, keeping the blinders on, which is probably what I would do, I think. But, yeah, so we don't know what happened, but it was hard to watch one do really, really well and then the next one come out. And, like, you could tell she was really disappointed.
Yeah. It's just, like, sucks to see because... I don't know, I've just grown to expect consistency and a performance, regardless of, like, my personal opinions of sometimes her skating. Like, I've come to expect and kind of rely on her to be consistent. So that was surprising. But she came back, kind of like we talked about Lisa before we went into this event. I feel like she let that fuel her into the free skates. Yeah, she just kind of like had points to prove, which, as you know, I really enjoy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily always still get her PCS, but it's not that I don't think she doesn't deserve it. It's just that I feel like a lot of people don't get PCS, but Alina Dzagitova gets really high PCS. And I wish someone from the judging panel could like talk me through their thought process on that. Because again, it's not that she doesn't deserve it. It's just like, why her and not like 90% of the other people, you know?
Well, it's because when they step out for 6 minutes to skate around and take their jackets off, everyone gets their stuff listed off. And when you get listed off as the most recent Olympic gold champion, it just be like that.
Just be like that.
It's like this inherent human thing where like, if you've never seen a day of figure skating and I'm like, hey, Megan, this is the person who won the big thing like a year and a half, like 2 years ago, you would be like, oh my God, she must be the best because she won the big thing.
That's the tea. That's the iced tea. Now tell me, you told me that your mom watched her, and I want to know what your mom said about her Cleopatra costume.
Well, I'm translating here because my mom was commentating in Bulgarian. Also, she's probably going to have opinions about me quoting her on this pod, but she watched it with me. And actually, she didn't watch this with me. She watched the medal ceremony, but obviously still same dress. And as Alina skated out in this dress, my mom said something to the effect of, why does she have a snake just on one tit? And was just very pressed about the asymmetrical nature of this dress. Which, I'm not even sure if it's a snake per se.
I think it is, and your mom made me realize that. I thought it was just a weird design. I like that it's a snake. I think, here's a couple questions I have. One, this is not a question, but this is, When your mom said that, I thought immediately of Woody from Toy Story being like, there's a snake on my tit, which is horrible. And I have intrusive thoughts 24/7. It's a real problem.
You're just doing comedy just for Keegan Messing and no one else.
It's just, yeah, it's a very small niche of just one Canadian man. Second, I wonder whether this snake is the same snake from Kailani Crane's costume from last year and whether it has migrated and every year a different ladies single skater gets chosen to be the snake mom.
I feel like they're different snakes because Kailani's snake was not a Cleopatra snake. She was just an aesthetic snake.
She also came from Australia and like their wildlife is like fucking insane. So it's probably like a whole different thing.
Yeah, so it might
thing.
Be a different...
That could be
a different thing.
That could... Maybe it wasn't a snake. Maybe that's what like worms look like in Australia because everything is huge.
Jesus
there.
Christ. Oh, I don't like that at all. That's very upsetting to me. I will say, having seen Alina now after watching her at IDF, both of her dresses are so much cuter in real life. And I'm not sure why and how, but I understand why people who haven't seen them in person might have different opinions.
The short program dress is growing on me. I don't necessarily understand all the hype around it, but I do like that there's like tassel-y bits that come off. I think that's exciting, and I was not getting those the first time, several times. Good for Alina. I'm happy for her that she's like able to keep fighting and like... You know, like we said last time, we talked about her kind of skate for herself and still podium and go to the final, you know?
Yeah. I'm just happy she gets to go to the final. I would have been...
It was touch and go.
I would have been so shocked if she didn't. But there was a second after that short where I wasn't sure. So I'm genuinely happy for her, which is... I think I've gone on a very long journey to arrive here, but I'm very happy for her.
Yeah, no, same. And you know what? Like, I'm glad that I put the work in to enjoy her because the world is happier. It's like a more enjoyable thing for me the more skaters I can stan, which goes back to what we were saying last week. But
yeah.
It's more fun to, like, enjoy someone than it is to be like, am I insane? Like, why don't I like this person everyone else likes?
Yeah, agreed. I'll talk more about that later a little bit. Rika has a new dress.
Rika has a couple new dresses.
she's building an entire closet worth of cool things.
So let's talk about it. Now, the zoom ba da ba da boom ba da ba da doom ba da ba day, that dress is like if Kevin Amos's horns shirt became a dress.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it has the same vibe. Also, I really like the front of it. It's like my favorite kind of front shape for a dress, just like a very dramatic deep V that just like shows just sternum and not actually like boob or anything. That's like one of my favorite things on skating dresses and wedding dresses and club wear. And just if I could wear this shape in everyday real life, I would probably. It makes me very happy and it looks good on her. But you're right, it has like the same energy.
I conducted a poll. What do we think of Rika's new Breakfast in Baghdad dress? 23% of you said, Zow! 0% said, Shtoom! The winner at 54% is Zubadabadab! And also tied for second and at 23% is Manamanum, Manamanum.
That's what I voted for. I am honored to be taking home silver.
Congratulations, Zubadabadab. You're a winner, baby. Shizuka Arakawa is going to come out and give you some flowers. So this dress, I like it. I think it's cool. We had a long argument among our friends and acquaintances, and we roped in Jackie Wong to figure out what was on the back of it.
Yeah, it could be a cross or a bird.
I thought it was like an abstract bird, but somebody thought it was an upside down peace sign.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like
a nuclear hazard sign.
Both of those were me. I was not having a great time when this was happening. If it was an upside down peace sign, it would be brilliant for her other program. Like, plot twist, the International Angel of Peace is actually like an anarchist.
Yes, the International Angel of like violence, and she's the villain, and she's setting up the conflict so that the International Angel of Peace will have something to fight against.
Oh my god, your mind. Yeah.
It's the expanded Kihira multiverse.
The fire's in the mirror about peace. She plays out of parts.
I like that you went to an intellectual place with fires in the mirror, because I thought about that Taylor Swift video where she plays the girl and the rival girl.
Two equally important pieces of American media.
Yeah, Rika Kihira wears short skirts, but she also wears t-shirts.
Oh, God.
Just kidding, just short skirts. And that's what we're talking about. So we liked this one. Now, the International Angel of Peace costume is International Angel of Pee.
Yeah.
Because it is green. This is a joke, I will die on this hill. It is not a joke. I love this dress. It looks like, I feel like I'm watching an Instagram filter, but it's real. Because it's so desaturated and we never see such a desaturated hue on ice. It's always, like, so vibrant.
Yeah. I really like this color because I don't think I can think of another dress in this shade ever on anyone, which is very exciting. Because there's so many colors and we keep defaulting to, like, oh, it's going to be pink and teal and black and red. So it's, like, exciting to see something new. I really like the, like, very subtle ombre. Although at first it did look like she got dipped in a puddle and came out like this.
That's always the risk with the ombre. That's always the risk with the ombre.
And I was not sold on the front because it seems heavier than the rest of it because of all of the, like, applique situations.
Yeah, she does love a really heavy-handed applique, huh?
Yeah, and it's pretty. It looks opulent and rich and sparkly. But I questioned it at first when I saw pictures before we saw her skate in it, because she's so light and angelic and like a bird and all of that. And I just don't know if she needs all of those blingy things to hold her down. But they didn't. So it's fine.
You know what's really fucking with me that I can't get past is the fact that you've just said that you've never seen anyone else wear this color, and now I'm, like, racking through my entire life, and I think you're right. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a garment this color in my whole life.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's, like, The Color Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft, where, like, the meteor comes down, and it's, like, a color no one's ever seen before, and everyone goes insane, but it's like that, but it's an ice skating costume.
It's, like, almost a military green, but not exactly. and it's not exactly an olive. So, like, I literally can't think of a visual reference for this.
It makes me feel like I'm watching a 3D movie with no 3D glasses on. Like, it's just, like, visually, it's really something. And maybe that's what it feels like to look at a celestial being. Like, you know how, like, in the Christian Bible, like, angels are actually really terrifying. Yeah. And, like, they're made of, like, 6,000 wings with eyeballs on them. And, like, those, like, there's, like, the ones that are just wheels that are on fire. And that's their whole body. Like, maybe it's, like, a that situation, right? Where it's just, it's meant to be a little disarming.
Oh, the International Angel of Peace is just like slightly off color, literally physically, because it's like a being of a different plane kind of thing.
This is an example of a costume that elevates the program.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about this program like a couple weeks ago and we were like, I don't need to be doing research to understand this. And I were like, anyway, here's 12 visual references so we can understand this costume.
Yeah, we've been broken down. The season has ended all reason. Yeah. Now we're just like, am I hallucinating an angel? Yeah, let's go with that. I would be religious if all their angels were doing triple axels and stuff.
How can you be sure they're not?
Oh, that's the question, right?
Welcome to the High State Podcast, the podcast where we talk about modern theology, apparently. Angels have a quad cell, but they're not using it.
Yeah, she did not bust out the quad cell. It was in her planned program content, and then it didn't happen. But there are worse ways it could have not happened.
Yeah.
Like, she turned it into a triple, which is, like, more than Yuzuru Hanyu did at the World's Short Program.
Hey!
I'm not dunking on him, obviously. He's the king, and we will talk about him. But I'm just saying,
we'll get there.
Like, we've seen amazing, pretty much unstoppable skaters do a worse job not doing a quad sal. So.
Yeah, I'd rather see a pretty triple sal than a garbage quad sal, because as we know from history, 21 episodes of it, quad sals keep me up at night often. This event, the Ladies Free, finished 10 minutes into my skate practice, which was very stressful. So I watched Rika basically as I was getting dressed, and I had to stop and give one of my AirPods to my coach and just make her watch it with me because I was very stressed out. And then the quad didn't happen, and we were both like, oh, okay. And then the triple axel happened, and both of us were like, oh, this is pretty. Yeah, okay. And my new coach commentated the whole thing as it was happening. Like, she called out the jumps and everything softly and in half Russian. It was very fascinating. I'm very jealous of people who can do that, like, in real time.
I actually am getting a lot better at it, at, like, calling out exactly what the jumps are. I'm, like, really proud of myself. I'm right most of the time now. It used to be, like, I was right less frequently than if I had just guessed, like, at random with a dice. So I've come a long way.
If Rika had busted out the quad, that could have changed things a little. And I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
I haven't done the math to see how that would have affected the actual podium, but
it came down to not the triple axels,
yeah,
which was interesting. It was kind of a question of, like, oh, if one of them lands them and one of them doesn't, that's it. But, like, it came down to, like, the regular triple jumps and, like, base value difficulty, stuff like that. Because I know Rika's been having trouble with her lets ever since she hurt herself. And that, I think, is what did it more than the actual triple axels, which is kind of wild. It's the jumps that, like, everyone can do that ended up being the deciding factor.
Yeah, which is kind of exciting. I prefer that to, like, knowing that someone has some, like, oh, well, she has this thing and, like, whatever, like, anything anyone does is irrelevant. Yeah, they were, like, 3 points apart in the free. So it actually ended up being Alona's lead from, I mean, she was still going to win. She was 3 points ahead in the free skate. But it was actually, like, her lead from the short program that ended up meaning more.
She's just so stunning. I don't even know what to say about her. I really love watching her. I think she's so graceful and beautiful. And I think that she's just got everybody like, oh, my God, where'd she come from? She's amazing.
Yeah, it's undeniable. Like, I can't be mad at her about anything at this point. Also, I'm sorry, but her Twilight dress has grown on me even more. I'm not mad at the blood. I'm not mad at any of it. I think it's fun.
I like it too. It's very cool. It's fun. It's exactly the kind of thing I would have really wanted to skate to at like 16.
Yeah, it's honestly like genuinely like the dress. I have a friend who wore basically the budget version of this to prom because she was like a little goth kid. they're all going to the final, which is fantastic and great, and I'm very proud of them. Do you want to do some shout-outs real quick before some honorable mentions before we actually talk about this final?
Karen Chen a little bit.
I think she's one of the best spinners among women right now. She looks like a figurine on top of like a music box.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
It's perfect. Friend of the podcast, Maya Berenice-Meite, is always beautiful. I'm obsessed with her and adore her deeply. I keep tweeting at her to be my best friend, and one day I'll win. It's basically how I've made most of my friends. Also, speaking of Maya, I deeply enjoyed having her and Kailani in the same group for the short program, because both of their short programs are so, like, carnival, like, summery and, like, hot and spicy, and I enjoy that because I was watching at work, because it was Friday, and it was very gloomy and just a horrible, upsetting November Friday morning, and both of them were just, like, so summery and sunny and hot, and I was like, this is perfect. And also, like, not what you do when you think of ice. Like, everyone goes to, like, Frozen. So I appreciate the choice to be, like, you know, Latin-inspired for about it. Yes.
Hi, my name is Megan, and you might recognize me from such films as The Cutting Edge, The Cutting Edge 2 featuring Christy Carlson Romano, and The Cutting Edge 3 also featuring Christy Carlson Romano, but in a completely different role, a fact which no one ever acknowledges, and it's maddening. And I'm here to guide you through our break. Now, usually it's me and Netta, but unfortunately, when we were recording our NHK episode, I was having some technical difficulties on my end, and I ended up losing large swaths of my audio. So, on top of the vacuuming and the cat, it was just a real carnival of distractions and horrors going on last week, but we shall push through. I was able to edit around most of it, but I apologize for that. I've since fixed the issue, and so I'm just coming at you from the future. Well, it's still the past for you, but it's the future relative to the rest of the show. It's a pastier future. That's my favorite X-Men film. Anyway, I'm here to tell you about Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/icetpod, you can check out the three different tiers of levels of giving. And for either $1, $5, or $7 a month, you can get various tiers of bonus content from us. We just released our November bonus content, and our bonus episode for the $7 tier was really, really fun. We got drunk and answered a bunch of, like, sleepovery, would you rather, fuck, marry. We didn't do fuck, marry, kill. We did fuck, marry, retire, I think. But that's a really, really totally unhinged episode that apparently people are enjoying, so you might want to check that out. And if you want to support us in a way that doesn't cost anybody any money, you can go to Apple Podcasts app, I think that's what it's called, and you can give us 5 stars, and if you want to, you can leave us a nice message. When you leave us 5 stars, you're basically telling Apple, hey, I like this podcast, and other people might too, so you should show it to them as a suggestion, and that helps us reach more people. Every time your favorite skater gets totally robbed, and you're like, that was unfair, I feel totally powerless, take that rage and channel your power into helping us out, because that's something you can give a score to that matters. And finally, we're heading into the Grand Prix final, which is so exciting. And of course, we're going to be all over Twitter live tweeting it. And we hope you guys will join us. We love hanging out with you. And come say hi to us. Let us know what plushies we should cover. Hopefully there are plushies. I mean, God, NHK was kind of a barren wasteland. We'll talk about it in a couple minutes. But anyway, I want to finish out this ad break by throwing you a piece of audio that did survive, that Netta said a nice message for Thanksgiving. So I want to give that to you guys. So I'll throw you over to Netta.
For some of y'all, it has been Thanksgiving, American listeners, and Megan. Putting aside the horrible colonial history of this holiday, it's like a thing that I've always appreciated, just as a concept, because in Bulgaria, we don't have that. Well, we have gratitude, but we don't have a day to, like, celebrate that. We do have a day where you reach out to people and beg forgiveness for things that you've done to them, which is a lot more upsetting and morbid. It's like, I know I fucked up. Please forgive me, please. But anyway, this cultural sidetrack aside, I just wanted to say thank you, guys, and Megan, for being here with us during this very exciting and fast-paced Grand Prix season. Our numbers of people who are joining us have grown, which has been so exciting. And it's just wild to me that there are so many of us. Please have some leftover mashed potatoes for me. I'm very thankful for you. Happy holidays. We are rushing through this episode.
We're rushing.
It's great. Speaking of Russians, none of them on this podium.
Yeah. They really shot their wad at Cup of Russia, huh?
Yeah.
Who among us didn't shoot our wad at Cup of Russia?
Oh, yikes. Makar tried so hard, and he gave so many interviews for, like, Russian people afterwards, where he was like, I'm so sorry, because I tried so hard. And it's like, honey, no, you did so good. Like, we all know now.
He tried so hard, and he got so far.
And in the end, didn't even matter.
So I felt like I know that we're not talking about him yet because we're talking about the podium, but I do want to say about Makar that I felt like I maybe went a little too hard in the last episode about being like, oh my God, he has such lovely PCS like components. Like he's so like artistic. He didn't bring it this time. And then I was like kind of questioning myself and I was like, did I hallucinate it the first time or did he just not bring it the second
time?
No,
he was just scared. I think the first time he was just performing because it's what he does. And now because it was such a short amount of time for him, I think he knew that a lot of us who weren't watching before are watching now. If that makes sense.
Well, it's like kind of what we said about KG, and I think we kind of saw this with Jason too, which we'll get to in a moment, and Makar, and like basically anybody who was not on the short list of like definitely going to the final and then had a really good first event and all of a sudden was, seems like the second event where the stakes were higher and the pressure was on, it got to them. And that was like a recurring thing we saw this season. So, I mean, relatable, you know.
Yeah, I can understand it like psychologically how that happens. But let's talk about the podium first. In third, representing Canada, we have Roman Sadowski.
Oh my God, what a precious, precious child.
What a prince. Honestly.
Little prince, a little spin baby. He kept getting like amazing like top marks in the spins and he deserves it. I think he's got some of those gorgeous underrated spins in the field right now. He's like, especially his transitions between like on his, like his changes between positions are so fluid and like he makes the changes into their own moment, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Gosh.
Yeah. He's just a very beautiful skater. We actually haven't gotten a chance to talk about him. He's the only person out of everyone on those podiums that we haven't gone into detail about a lot. So happy to see him on a podium. This was his first, like, big boy podium.
It was. He skates his his short program to a cover of Fly Me to the Moon by, I think, Chris Mann.
Yeah.
And it is so extra. It is, like, the most... it's grown on me. I against my will, but like it is so oversung and extra. It's
outrageous. I love it. A friend of the pod, Daniel, pointed out during I think Skate Canada, like something that we watched together, and you weren't there, but we watched something where he skated this for the first time, and Daniel pointed out that Chris Mann sounds a lot like Jeremy Jordan, and I have not been able to unhear that, and I really like it. A lot. I think it's like classic old Hollywood, just handsome boy drama in a way that I really buy. It's David Wilson choreo, so you can't really go wrong with that.
It's not going to come as a surprise to anyone who follows me on Twitter that my favorite version of Fly Me to the Moon is always going to be sung by a woman with an incredibly thick Japanese accent, and that's kind of it for me. But, you know, I'm a weeb, so just ignore everything I say because I don't deserve rights.
You said it yourself, so I'm just not gonna add anything to that correct statement. No, I just think this is so pretty and works for him. Kind of gives me kind of the same vibe as like Nathan's La Boheme and just like a classically beautiful program about a boy who's waiting for a date that's just not gonna show up. I don't know why this is the vibe I'm getting. It's just
like... That's not what the song's about.
I know. It just gives me this like... It makes me want to be watching a film from like... the 50s with a very handsome lead and there is like a street in the rain and drama.
It's wild to me that this song is called Fly Me to the Moon and Nathan has a program about a rocket man going to space, but that's not the one you picked. It's
no, it's just like the vibe of like a dinner where you actually light a candle.
This is like, yeah, well, you know what? I think this is actually really indicative of, like, the difference between you and me is that you went to, like, a romantic place and I went to, like, literally outer space.
Well, I don't think the actual song, I don't think this moon, like, lands itself to actual space travel, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think Frank Sinatra was ever a candidate to go to the moon. That would be fucking crazy. Can you imagine just, like, chain smoking in the middle of the physical exam? Although I bet they all were. I'm no NASA historian. I went on a date with a guy who was, like, had one interest, and it was history of, like, the first space flight, but that was it.
That's, I mean, that's a fine interest, but just the one.
Well, I know a fair amount about space nowadays, and he did not want to talk about that. So it wasn't even like, let's talk about space. It was like, let's talk about specifically Alan Shepard. And I'm like, okay.
That's not how dates work.
Yeah, but, you know, in his defense, he did tell me the entire plot of Total Recall. So now I don't have to see it.
So he had two interests.
Yeah, the first space flight and an alien with three titties, which, you know, mood.
I mean, so valid.
Valid, very valid. If you're listening, hi, I'm sorry things didn't work out between us.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, anyways, what else about Roman Sadovsky? His free skate is a beautiful Schindler.
Yeah, it's very hard to do a bit about this, so I'm not even going to try, but we had so many Schindler's lists in this event. Just so many. Just
yeah, and they really, they varied wildly in terms of their validity.
I think I continue to think that Jason is the person who has the most valid, just non-questionable Schindler's List. Like, everything about it checks out. There is no offensive costume. There is no severe misunderstanding of the source material. It's just so very valid.
Well, anyway, Roman Sadovsky has a lovely Schindler. And although it may not be as affecting as Jason Brown's, literally nothing is, so that's an impossible standard to hold anyone to. And I know that all the Canadians that I know were like absolutely buck fucking wild excited that Roman got to be on a podium because he's like the future.
Yeah,
and him and Conrad Orzel, I feel like the two of them are like making shit look bright for Canada.
Yeah, very proud of both of them. Conrad, I know we're doing this like not in order, but Conrad ended up 12th, God bless him. But his Les Mis makes me want to go climb a fucking barricade. The second I hear it, Les Mis gets me freaking pumped so, so very much. And speaking of France and wanting to win, in second place we have Kevin Amos.
Oh, he did it. He did it.
I can't stop crying. We did it, kids. Just fucking God, thrilled. Kevin. I can't stop crying. He couldn't stop crying. Everyone's crying. He pulled it off so incredibly, like such a fighter.
He's so special. Like he's just one of a kind.
Yeah.
And the fact that he gets to go to the final feels like, oh my
feels
God,
correct.
Like there is justice in this hell sport. It's not just the same people over and over and over and over again. Like it's like an injection of fresh blood. That's a weird metaphor.
Fresh air, but that would not be an injection. Don't inject here.
Don't inject air, you'll die.
Anyway, it's a breath.
Unless you're a balloon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate myself. That wasn't a joke. That was a cry for help.
this entire podcast, 21 episodes of it.
Just one big long cry for help. So, I mean, what do we say about this? It was just...
It was a full range of human emotion because he did good in the short. And he was happy with himself. And proud and excited. And then in the free, he felt, I think, a little disappointed. And there was this entire journey of human emotion in the kiss and cry as he got his score and realized he's ending up in second and realized he's going to the final, which we were kind of robbed of a little bit.
The second he realized it, it panned away and it was like, oh!
But it's just... Can you imagine, like, getting off the ice and being like, oh, I fucked this up. Like, this was not as good as it could have been. And then going through, like, this whole thing in the next, like, 4 minutes. Just wild. Well,
It's crazy how removed, like, this perspective of the skater must be from the perspective of the viewer because of wherever their mind is at and yeah. how we're never really a good judge of, like, what things look that we did looked like.
Yeah.
Because to me it was very clear that he did well enough to go, but he, I think, must have just been, like, beating himself up and inflating any mistakes that he made in his head to be so disastrous.
Yeah.
So remember that, kids. Next time you think you really fucked up, just think about how Kevin didn't understand that he was going to win the silver medal and go to the Grand Prix final just because he made, like, a couple mistakes.
Oh, he's so precious. I'm just so happy for him.
He feels like one of us. Like, I feel like everyone from, like, him and Maya Berenice, they all feel like normal, like, fans almost of the sport who then, like, get to go and compete and, of course, are amazing, but then their reactions to everyone else are very much, like, the same as ours. And I'm like, oh, he's one of us. He's, like, our man on the inside. He's just, like, if you look at pictures of him, he's just constantly staring, like, what is happening? And I'm like, that's relatable.
Yeah, we can talk about the podium shenanigans when we're done with the rest of this, because there was a lot that happened, like, actually at the medal ceremony. I'm just so very happy.
Yeah, well, we got to talk about the man with the plan. Panama. Yuzuru Hanyu.
Oh my God. What a boy. What a man.
Yuzuru Hanmi? No.
No.
Yuzuru Han us.
That's horrible.
I'm so sorry. So he won, and I'm glad he did, because if he didn't, it would have been bad.
Nothing would have made sense.
Somebody would have found a way to set the internet on fire, like, fully just.
Like, in real life. He was, as usual, so very good. I know he wasn't proud, like, he wasn't pleased with himself in the short. Which is insane. Like, it's insane to me, like, what you were just saying about, like, their perspective versus ours. Like, he does things that basically very few other people, meaning Nathan, can do. And he beats himself up over things that anyone else in the world would be extremely hyped up over. And that's just, I'm having a hard time comprehending that. But I know that after the short program, he gave a lot of, like, press conference statements where he was like, yeah, well, this happened. It was fine.
Yeah, he's his own worst critic. And sorry, I'm like, I'm give me 1 second. I have to move this cat. She's, like, on me, digging her fucking claws into my boobs. Like, this is what gets her joy. This is what gives her joy. Hold on, 1 second.
This is where you see it.
Okay, so for someone who, like, brings so much joy and represents so much joy, there's this thing that follows him wherever he goes where, like, no matter what he does, people find a way to be angry on his behalf. And today, I think this was another one of those competitions where people felt that he didn't win by enough.
Which is stupid.
I don't know how to weigh in on that. Like, you know us here. We're not like, oh, yes, well, if I try to take out my fucking checklist and well, I really should have gotten to this GOE instead of that GOE. Like, I'm like, this made me feel purple and I liked it. Like, that's how I judge things.
You know what I want to talk about?
It felt very purple.
No, I want to talk about, because we've talked about those programs many, 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 many times and they continue to slap. I want to talk about when he's done jumping in his free skate and he gets to, like, one of the ends of the ice and there's that beat and then he goes into the choreo sequence. Because that is high performance art. I don't care about scores. I don't care about who's your favorite or, like, anything. Just gets me riled the fuck up. It feels like a rock concert. It's just,
it
has that quality they keep talking about it. I've been talking about for, like, so many episodes, this quality of just, like, I know I can do this thing real fucking good. Watch me.
Oh, it's so amazing. And he's like,
so good.
He likes attention. And I think that, like, you need to like attention to be, like, that level of a showman. Oh, I'm loath to say this because I don't like being like, oh, Nathan versus Yuzu. And of course, how could you even compare Nathan to Yuzu? Yuzu's so much better, like, the way, like, so many people are. Like, it drives me nuts. But, like, I would never say that.
Podcast, bitch.
No, not on my podcast either. But I will say that I do think that that's where Yuzu has a little bit of an edge over Nathan, is that it seems like Yuzu really, like, loves the attention, and Nathan is still getting used to it. Like, yeah. He's, like, a little bit younger. He's a little bit more of, like, a cool customer, and he doesn't necessarily, like, thrive over the, like, I'm going to stay out for an extra half an hour after the gala and, like, stick my head in a mascot's mouth because people like it kind of thing. Which we will get there. Trust me when I say, you know, we're going to get there. But, like, I think that quality makes Yuzu an exceptional performer. And that's, I think, what's really exciting to me. And obviously, it's really cool that he's had such a consistent quad loop this year.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about his jumps and his health because I'm scared. But... I'm just thinking, I think this is an extension of what we've been talking about with, like, younger skaters and stuff. People who are technically good but are just kind of ashamed of being seen as, like, creatures capable of connection and emotion and stuff. I think Yuzu is so far past this, and he is so aware of being watched and so ready to deliver when he's being watched that, like, he could go to, like... an arcade and play, like, Dance Dance Revolution and still gonna be incredible because he knows what he's doing and how magnetic he is when he's performing. It's not even about the skating. It's just, like, about, like, not being afraid of being watched.
Yeah, and you know how I would describe it as, like, to throw it back to... I don't remember if it was Cup of Russia or if it was whichever...
They've all been happening so much.
It's all a blur, dear listener. But one of the competitions where Dennis was there, and he was talking to Stefan in the Kiss and Cry, and he was like, I was trying to hold it all in, and Stefan was like, no, be generous. You don't hold it in. Be generous. Yeah. Give, give, give. And I think that that's how I would describe Yuzu, is that he's an exceptionally generous performer this year. I think last year, I think I was having a little trouble connecting to him because it felt like he was too preoccupied.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just, like, what I like to see from him. It just gets me very, very hype. I'm just so happy he gets to go to the final and be okay about it and, like, be healthy and compete. Like, I read, like, one of the many interviews where he was like, I just look forward to competing against Nathan, which is, like, so funny to me. But, like, I'm excited we get to see that. It's been a while since we've had a Hanyu Chen back-to-back. I'm ready to be shook, ready to be shaking.
Again, this is another, it's another example of people, like, pitting skaters. Like, oh my god, they, like, hate each other and they want to kill each other. It's like, no, this is, like, the highlight of their year.
I mean, that would be the difference between, like, making you sing against someone who can sing and sending you into, like, second grade choir and being like, Megan, can you outsing those kids? Of course you can. Like, that's not exciting.
I still go into a second grade choir at least once a week to dunk on those 8-year-olds.
While we're here, let's just talk through who's going to the final, because we're already kind of doing that. I'm going to read you off some things. You just tell me how we feel about it. How about that?
We didn't do women either.
Yeah, so I'm just going to do both. Since we've already talked about Yuzu and Nathan, joining them at the Grand Prix final will have Alexander Samarin. His name is Alexander Samarin. And his good friend, Dmitry Aliev. I'm kind of... super okay with both of them. I'm gonna stop here just to talk about Russians. Super happy about both of them. I'm kind of scared that we're gonna have to see Samarin's gala again. Everything else I'm happy about.
Sending vibes into the universe that maybe he'll change it back to his weird car salesman routine that he did last year.
Please, God. Please, God. Please. But anyway, joining them, we have Kevin Amoz. Love of my life. We just talked about him. Incredible. Can't believe he's going. And then... placing sixth, going in qualifying, is Boyang Jin. Like, surprise, bitch.
Surprise, bitch? Like...
I'm just thrilled for him. This is so exciting. And then the three people who we have as substitutes, two of them had the same point number as Boyang, but didn't have the tiebreaker, is Nam and Jason. And then we have KG as third substitute, which, honestly, all of this... I'm super at peace with. I tweeted about it and I was like, oh my god, this is a blessed lineup. And someone was like, actually, Shoma's not on it and Jason's not on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm upset about this, But I get to be excited about the six people I do get to see. How about that? So anyway, those are the guys who we have going into the final. And for ladies, boy oh boy, it's a lot of Russians with names that start with A. We have, I'm just gonna go top to bottom. We have Alena Kostelnaya, Alexandra Trusova, Anna Sherbakova, Rika Kihira, Alina Zagitova, and Brady Tanel going to the final.
Brady Tanel is the Boyangjin of this group.
Stan Brady. I've been telling y'all to stan Brady. She's the first American woman to qualify for the final since Ashley Wagner and Gracie Gold, like a couple years back. So that's exciting as shit. And also, she's great. Stan Brady.
This has been Stan Brady.
Hi, it's Megan from the future past again. I just wanted to interject. We lost a little tiny snippet of audio, but basically it was me asking Netta, how do you feel about your boyfriend tragically not making the final?
It's okay. I'm at peace with it.
Clarify that it's Jason Brown and not your Georgian boyfriend, Morrissey. Your American boyfriend, Jajan Brown.
Dajan Brown. Yeah, my beautiful wife Mariah is also second alternate, so I feel like my curse is to just, I think the second I declare that someone matters to me, they end up as second substitute. Yeah, the lady substitutes are Satoko, Mariah, and Elizaveta Doktomysheva, who has a quad toe. That's all I have to say about this. I want to shout out fucking Sergei Voronov, who was fucking third in the short program, killed it, and then let the pressure of the free skate get to him a little bit. But he skated so well. Also, he has a new shirt. I first was very scared about it because I love his green beaded situation. But this black mesh, outstanding, so great. I just...
Agree. It's another one I want to own.
Yeah, really. Same. I tweeted a selfie of me just, like, wearing clothes, like, last week or something, because he stole my brand of wearing black mesh so it can show off the tattoos, like, right above your elbow on the inside of your arm. That's, like, what you do when you have those. That's Slavic culture. Oh, Tomoki Hiwatashi, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. I've said it to friends many, many times. This man is going to podium at the 2026 Olympics. I don't know about the ones before that, because that's too soon. But 2026 is Tomoki's, and I'm saying it now, and I will be correct. That's all. Welcome to Plushie Corner. We're talking about it right now. Plushie Corner at 10HK was garbage.
It sucked.
There was nothing. Plushies.
Except for poo. You can't keep a good poo down.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, everyone just spent their money on poos and didn't buy anything else, basically.
Yeah, relatable.
But yeah, Plushie Corner is just Zhenya's most recent Instagram post about a giraffe. Just go look at that. That's Plushie Corner.
That's Plushie Corner. Also, Yuzu was, like, really going ham to puppeteer Poo. He, like, one of these days that poor Poo's arms are going to fall
off.
Yeah,
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the moment we have to see this thing fall apart, like, live on air, because it will happen.
Well, so in lieu of Plushie Corner, I want to talk about, I guess, Mascot Corner, because NHK had three mascots, and it was a bunny wearing eyeglasses.
Mood.
It was a lion in a dress, I think.
Also a mood.
And also mood. Those are two genders right there. And then it was Domo-kun. So Yuzu was trying to make Pooh pet Domo-kun, but he couldn't reach, and Gislam was like, what are you doing? But then the mascots were there at the gala, and it was amazing because Yuzu was, like, he, like, stayed after the gala to hang out with them and, like, basically just do fan service. He was, like, teaching them how to do, like, his little, like, heel drag move, and the lion was pretty good at it. Domo-kun doesn't have, like, knee joints, so he kind of skated like I do and just sort of penguined around. He tried to do a spiral, but his leg only lifted like half an inch off the ground, and I
huge
felt
mood.
Really seen. Huge mood. Felt very seen. And then Yuzu stuck his head in Domo-kun's mouth.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for a man who tries to be very private about his life, the degree of his vor fascination is really
unparalleled.
It's unparalleled.
Unless you're Griffin McElroy, in which case might be paralleled, but mostly unparalleled.
Yeah, unparalleled in the figure skating
Yeah,
world.
No one else is this open about their vor kink.
What else happened? Oh, you know what else was cute that we found out from Plushie Corner? was from Instagram, from like the bowels of an Instagram thread, we found out that Brady Tennell is really into Supernatural and got like plushies of the people from Supernatural at some event, and she was like thanking someone, like, oh my god, I got them, I love them, which is so funny. Like, what a nerdy thing to be into.
She strikes me as the kind of person who like genuinely just enjoys the show and doesn't know how deep the fandom goes and how terrifying some corners of it are. And that's endearing to me.
Listen, some of us were late to that.
Yeah.
So she's like my level of like not understanding internet fandom.
That's very endearing to me, and I appreciate it. And I hope for her sake she never, ever finds out what people get up to on the internet.
Yeah, let's keep her away from that. I mean, maybe she knows already, but...
Unless she actually knows. Like,
unless she's actually got a secret life as like a super hulock, like
she prominent archive of her own writer.
She's a big name fan.
That is my favorite headcanon. That explains her like dystopian like fantasy sci-fi shit from last year as well. Just like alternate universe figure skaters.
I'm dying. This is actually like I now just want her to win worlds.
Just for the sake of that. Oh yeah, Jason had his usual adorable post about like visiting children, like sick children, to donate plushies and stuff, in which he also spoke some Japanese, which I can't understand, so I'm not sure how good it was, but very appreciated.
He's getting better. He seems more comfortable with it.
That's very precious.
He's talking about in one interview about how Satoko Miyahara taught him how to say his hair was curly, and I thought that was really cute. Gala?
I didn't watch the gala. I'm so sorry. I slept in on Sunday.
I meant banquet, because I'm trying to think of, as far as the gala goes, gala highlights, Kevin has a new gala, and it's so amazing. It's to one of those dark, edgy bangers. Yes. It's,
I did like his French one, but last year his exhibition was Amber Run.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's Amber Run.
It's the one from last year, then.
I just hadn't seen it, but I thought it was such a good choice for him, and it was like, oh, it's so good. I also saw Jason's Grease for the first time. I hadn't seen that.
Isn't it so good?
Okay, so I'm struck by a couple things here. One, yes, it's amazing, of course. Two, that part where he just does like 18 Russian splits.
Yeah.
Amazing. Three, I had never heard the Glee version of Grease Lightning, and I didn't realize how dirty the original one was until I heard the clean version.
Yeah. All of Grease is very NC-17, if you will.
It is. Grease Lightning is just, like, a lot of talk about vaginas.
Yeah, and masturbation.
It is. And to that end,
yeah. Please pull off this segue. Please, I'm begging you, please.
No, I'm trying to remember what Sergei Voronov did, because I remember being really sexy.
Let me see if Wikipedia can tell me. I have not seen it. Should I watch this gala? I feel bad.
It's fine. I skipped a lot of it, because a lot of it was...
It didn't say.
Okay, well, it was hot, but no, I was mad because they didn't let Star Andrews do her gala because her gala is like superior to everybody else's. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was fine. It was. I mean, I had to watch Costa Naya do 50 Shades of Grey again, and she looked dead behind the eyes the whole time. Yeah,
I wonder why. That perm is just bad for her.
It's just it's Mr. Yucks. So, anyways, but the banquet looked lit as hell,
as per usual.
Also, you know what else was a miss for me is they didn't let Tomoki do his exhibition.
Which is stupid.
Which is stupid because you're not going to let someone do a Lupin the Third exhibition in Japan. That's like the only place anyone's going to get it.
Yeah, it was not a... Yeah, I have not seen it, but that's an upsetting choice.
Okay, let's talk about the gala because there were so many good looks. First of all, Wen Jingsui as the banquet. I'm so sorry. So this is what fucks me up is that a gala is a party to me and not like
a gala
nice
is
show.
A party for calming all your nerves.
Thank you. I want to have a gala.
This is the whitest thing we've ever done. This podcast is canceled.
It super is. So the banquet. Wen Jingsui always has these like gorgeous like hanfu situations. She puts on the fake hair. She puts on all the makeup. She puts on the traditional costumes. Stunning. Okay. Now, what else? Star Andrews had the curly hair out.
Looking gorgeous.
Stunning. Who else? Everybody.
Single Russian just fucking showed up. Their entire, like, Russian Federation just looked stunning.
Yeah, Team America looked great. Jason had, like, an all-black suit with the white tie.
His mind. Team France, fucking Mai and Gabby looking like a powerful lesbian couple.
And Kevin was their son that, like, had to come to the company dinner with them because, like, they couldn't get a babysitter.
And then, can I just say, I appreciate Guillaume so deeply for being the one person who showed up in an expensive sweater, expensive ripped jeans, and just very nice shoes. Incredible. That's the agenda. I don't know whose agenda, but it's an agenda. He looked just so stylish. Everyone else is in, like, three-piece suits, and he's like, I'm wearing a sweater, but it's beautiful. Oh, shout out to Yuhana Yokoi, who, first of all, adorable, fantastic, love her.
Love her.
Her coverage of the banquet.
Oh my god.
Next level.
It was like next level. It was up there with Nam's. It was just a picture of her with everyone with a caption. Can I, like, read these? I can't
please
even
do
these justice.
It's like Rika's last year, just okay. Full coverage, selfies with everyone. Please read them.
Yeah, Rika has not been as on her game, but Yuhana is up here, is, like, out here. First of all, she was dressed like a cupcake, which was, like, hell yeah. So there's a picture of her with, oh, is that Riku? Is that the girl, the Japanese pair skater? I believe it's Riku.
I don't know what you're looking at.
It says, her short hair, very nyateru. And then there's a picture of her with Stefan Lambiel, and it just says, he is Koshiro's coach.
He's also a two-time world champion, Olympic silver medalist. He's Koshiro's coach.
He's Koshiro's coach. Let's face it. That's his name now. Stefan who? Here's a picture of her with Wen Jingxuan and Han Song, and it just says, I love their throw jumps. And it's like, me fucking too, Johanna. Like, thank you.
It feels like she has access to, like, skater Duolingo, and has just, like, mastered, this is so-and-so's coach. I really like her axel. Like, just so cute.
It's so cute. And then there's a picture of her with Tomoki, and it says, his jumps are very high. Which they are!
Correct.
Like, where's the lie? These are, and it's so great because, like, I could say all these things in Japanese, but then, like, that's it. So it's like, I can relate to this exact level of language comprehension.
That is incredible.
Her mind. She knows what we want, and, like, I can relate to her finding something to say about everyone, because this is how I live tweet. Be like, what can I say about this person? His jumps are very high.
He's Koshiro's coach. Oh, incredible. Oh, blessed. Amazing. Highly blessed.
Hey, listen.
Yes.
Koshiro and Soda Yamamoto were also there, and they also were amazing.
Correct.
We, like, didn't even talk about them. This is like Team Japan erasure.
Yes. Everyone was fucking fantastic. Can I give a special shout out to the director of photography who decided to cut to that one camera in the corner right when Soda was, like, right in front of it, just, like, serving face for a second? This is the level of photography I dream of in figure skating overall. Like, if we're gonna pan to shit, just, like, give me dramatic close-ups to people's faces.
Yes, this is what the people want. We don't want the sky cam. We want, like, dramatic face close-ups. Finally, someone is giving us what we want. We may not have gotten plushies, but we got amazing face close-ups. So even trade-off, I don't know, but 0 out of 5 plushies, just for no plushies. Not applicable. Social media corner. A photo surfaced of Lisa and Andre when they must have been, like, 13 or 14. Oh, they were little babies, and it was so cute. I didn't realize they'd been dating for that long. But
I'm not even sure if they were dating back then. They might have just been,
He had his hand
teammates.
Around his waist. He had a little cheeky hand around her waist.
You don't know their story. I actually don't know their story, but it's a very cute picture. It's, like, reposted on a bunch of Instagrams. I'm sure you all can find it.
Okay, gave a cute shout-out to her mom, which was adorable.
And also a cute shout out to Giraffe. If you want to come for my wig, you can follow me at AliWidgeBK on Instagram for my drag content. But if you do want to just talk to me about figure skating, I am at NedaMarie, that's N-E-D-A, and then Marie on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to be live tweeting the Grand Prix final before we get to make an episode about it. So that's where you can watch me do that or tweet about D&D a lot at NedaMarie.
Hi, this is Megan from the Pasty Future, Futury Past, one final time. I am here to tell you that at this point in the recording, my hard drive decided that it no longer wanted to live in this cruel world and just completely yeeted all of the rest of my footage into the void. So I'm gonna close out the episode by saying that my social media information is at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to follow the both of us, which is where we do most of our live tweeting for the events, it is at IcedTPod on Twitter and Instagram. Like I said in the middle of the show, you can also donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/IcedTPod. And if you do so for even as little as $1 a month, one of the amazing perks you can get is you can have your name read off at the end of the podcast, or if you don't want your name, you can have a phrase of your choice. So without further ado, here are the wonderful, wonderful subscribers we have already. They are Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Susan, and someone who made their Patreon name, In Spirit, I Am Always Throwing Plushies Out of Guinea Medvedeva, and Caitlin. Thank you guys so much for listening and for your patience as we sort of like took a little tiny holiday break and then, you know, had to deal with some fun challenges for this episode. We love you guys and we will see you next week. Enjoy the Grand Prix final. Bye!